Hi, my name is Caleb Farley, and you're listening to the Apes First podcast. In this episode, we'll be covering the controversy of ethanol fuel blends.
So the other day, I was at the gas station filling up my bins, and there was this new yellow pump labeled E85, and it was super cheap, and I really wanted to put it in my car.
Ah yes, according to Janet Sayman in 2012, E85 is a gasoline blend which contains up to 85% ethanol. But no, it's not actually cheaper. E85 is about 25% less energy dense than pure gasoline. As a result, your gas mileage is going to be much worse, up to 30% lower compared to ethanol-free gas.
So you're not really saving any money in the end.
So, is ethanol better for the environment?
Yes and no. It's complicated.
According to Robert Niven in 2005,
in some ways, using ethanol reduces impacts on the environment, but in other ways, it creates a worse impact than gasoline.
I've heard that since its introduction in 1978, corn-based ethanol fuel has been controversial. Its proponents hailed it as clean, renewable, environmentally friendly energy source, while its opponents claim that it damages the environment and produces more emissions than gasoline. So who is right? Does it make sense to be mixing ethanol into our gas?
In regards to greenhouse gas emissions, it does make sense to use ethanol gas. However, it is controversial. For example, in a 2012 study, the EPA claims that corn grain ethanol reduces greenhouse gas emissions by 21% relative to gasoline. However, according to a study conducted by Search Engine et al., converting from gasoline-powered vehicles to E85-powered vehicles could increase life-cycle CO2 emissions by over 90% when the ethanol is produced from corn. But this study is assuming that ethanol production is tied to corn prices. However, this study was published in 2008, and while ethanol production and corn prices were both increasing during this time, this does not apply after the study had been completed. Ethanol production more than doubled from 2007 to 2019. However, the price of corn in 2019 is actually lower when adjusted for inflation. Since the findings of the study are based on the assumption that increasing ethanol production will increase corn prices, the results are not applicable. Another study, conducted by DeLucy, determined that E90 from corn ethanol might reduce CO2 emissions by about 2.4% relative to gasoline. This study was published in 2006 and used data from earlier times, so this must be taken into account. The efficiency of ethanol production has increased from 2006 to 2019, so this estimate should be greater. So, in conclusion, when compared with petroleum, the use of ethanol does decrease greenhouse gas emissions, although the exact reduction is unknown at this point.
Okay, so with regards to climate change, ethanol is beneficial.
Correct.
So I read the study by Pimentel that claimed that ethanol has a negative net energy balance. What does that mean?
If ethanol had a negative net energy balance, then this would mean that the amount of energy required for the production of ethanol is less than the energy content of the final ethanol product.
So is Pimentel right? Does ethanol have a positive net energy balance or not?
Pimentel is wrong. Ethanol production actually does have a positive net energy balance, although it is controversial. 1 gallon of ethanol contains 76,000 BTU of energy, which is measured by combusting 1 gallon of ethanol and measuring the amount of heat energy produced. The energy required to produce a gallon of ethanol is determined by adding up the amount of energy expended for each step in the production of ethanol. The two most energy-intensive steps are corn production and refining. In a 2002 study, Pimentel claims that ethanol production requires 99,000 BTU per gallon of ethanol. However, this is an overestimate for several reasons. Pimentel claims that 3,900 BTU is required per kilogram of corn. However, in 2010, only 1,500 BTU were required for the production of 1 kilogram of corn, according to the USDA and Gallagher et al. Overall, 6,500 BTU per bushel were required for corn production in 1996, whereas 3,700 BTU were required in 2010. This is the main reason why Pimentel's final estimate is inaccurate.
Furthermore, Pimentel assumes that all of the corn is required to be used for ethanol production. However, only the starch component is needed. The byproducts are used for livestock feed and other renewable fuel production. Additionally, Pimentel throws in energy inputs that do not belong in the calculation of ethanol production from corn, such as the carbon footprint of each human who works on the farm. Newsflash, Pimentel, halting ethanol production wouldn't make this person disappear. Pimentel's estimate of the amount of energy required to refine ethanol is based on coal, while in reality, natural gas is the main energy source for ethanol refineries. Overall, the energy required to produce a gallon of ethanol, as determined by Gallagher, is around 50,000 BTU. Shapuri, in a contemporary study to Pimentel in 2002, concluded that ethanol production has a net positive energy balance, although the ratio was 1.11 as compared to 1.5 for the study conducted by Gallagher. So, in the end, it can be concluded that ethanol does have a net positive energy balance, a ratio of approximately 1.5, not including byproduct credits, which would increase the ratio even further in the favor of ethanol. Overall, the energy required to refine ethanol and to grow corn dropped significantly from 1996 to 2010. Ethanol has made the transition from an energy sink to a moderate net energy gain in the 1990s to a substantial net energy gain in the present, and there are still prospects for improvement.
But what about air pollutants? Does burning ethanol or gasoline produce more air pollutants? I know that proponents for ethanol have long claimed that ethanol fuel blends burn cleaner, as ethanol introduces more oxygen into the fuel mixture, making combustion more efficient and, thus, less polluting. What do you have to say about this?
So this argument is oversimplified. E10 is known to produce less hydrocarbons, carbon monoxide, and benzene compared to regular gasoline. Simultaneously, however, ethanol blends produce significantly more acetaldehyde and NOx than pure gasoline. A 2009 study conducted by Keith Knoll of the National Renewable Energy Laboratory found that ethanol acetaldehyde emissions are 350 to 700% higher than gasoline emissions. These findings are further corroborated by a 2002 study conducted by Bang Kwa-he of Tsinghua University in China. In 2007, Mark Jacobson, a professor at Stanford, conducted a study in which he compared the effect of E85 fuel on mortality, cancer, and hospitalization rates compared to gasoline. He found two important differences between E85 emissions and pure gasoline emissions. When E85 fuel is burned, it emits 22% more hydrocarbons and leads to the creation of way more ozone. As a result, Jacobson found E85 may increase ozone-related mortality, hospitalization, and asthma by 9% in Los Angeles and 4% in the United States as a whole, relative to 100% gasoline. Thus, E85 is at least as bad as gasoline with regards to air quality. All the above is generally agreed upon by the scientific community. However, there's little consensus about particulate matter and nitrogen oxides. A 2014 study by Christopher Teslam of the University of Minnesota concluded that increased concentrations of ethanol in gasoline resulted in an increase in tailpipe particulate matter. Yet in 2004, Robert Kevin of the University of South Wales found that particulate matter decreased inversely with ethanol concentration. This discrepancy is likely the result of different climates in which the experiment was conducted. It is known that particulate matter emissions increase when it's colder outside, and it's generally colder in Minnesota than it is in South Wales. The 2014 study might have recorded more particulate matter than the 2004 study, because of the varying temperatures in which the experiment was conducted. The same controversy exists for nitrogen oxide. Some studies claim that ethanol blends produce more nitrogen oxide than gasoline, and some claim less. The same 2014 study previously referenced also concluded that nitrogen oxide emissions vary to the age of the car. It determined that pre-1986 cars produce less nitrogen oxide than cars made after 1986. This could account for the widespread discrepancy in findings concerning ethanol blends and nitrogen oxide. However, because there are so few 1986 cars on the road, and even fewer that can actually run on ethanol fuel without engine damage, this discrepancy can be discarded, and we can consider ethanol as emitting more nitrogen oxides than gasoline. According to Christopher Teslam, the same guy who did the 2014 study we talked about earlier, ethanol emissions result in worse air quality and worse health effects than gasoline. In this way, burning ethanol has a greater effect on air quality than burning gasoline, and is thus the worst of the two.
I now know that ethanol emits less greenhouse gases compared to gasoline. I also know that ethanol, in fact, has a positive net energy balance. We've also talked about how ethanol emits way more air pollutants than gasoline. So does it make sense to be mixing ethanol into our gas?
We think so. According to the World Commission on Environment and Development of Common Future, addressing climate change is more important than improving air quality. Thus, it is more important to reduce greenhouse gas emissions than reduce air pollutants. This criteria helps us determine which fuel source is best for the environment. Even though ethanol is significantly worse for air quality compared to gasoline, ethanol-based fuel produces far fewer greenhouse gases than gasoline. And because it is more important to reduce greenhouse gases than to reduce air pollutants, ethanol is the better fuel source, not gasoline. So, should we be mixing ethanol into our gas? Should we, as drivers, choose ethanol blends over gasoline at the pump if our cars are compatible? Yes, absolutely.
So next time you're at the gas station, remember, ethanol belongs in your tank.